regarding your topic, can you give me a rational justification for consciousness?
What does that have to do with the topic?
It has everything to do with the topic. If you're saying that we came from, yes, it does. Can you tell us how we got consciousness and your worldview?
I think consciousness is emergent. Sufficiently complex organizations of matter produce a thing like consciousness.
So can you put it in a bottle? Is it indivisible or is it divisible?
No, it doesn't come with liberty or justice for all. So something that is emergent, no, it doesn't come out.
That sounds a little lazy for a rational justification for it, brother.
It's literally not, because it's in evidence. Do you think that a zygote is conscious?
Say that one more time.
Do you think that a zygote is conscious?
Not conscious like rational humans.
Do you think that it was a yes or no question?
Did you hear what my answer was?
It's a yes or no question. Do you think that a zygote is conscious?
Not like humans.
So no. But once a zygote undergoes enough cell divisions, so gains a sufficient level of complexity, then does become conscious. So according to you, this is the case.
Wait. So it becomes rational like humans is what you're saying.
Well, a zygote is a single-celled human, so rational like a human, human.
Wait. So basically what you're saying is abiogenesis is true?
No, none of this has anything to do with abiogenesis.
Oh, okay.
An idiot would understand that. So congratulations on being less than an idiot.
Well, you still haven't answered my actual question. Besides,
yes, I have.
You said emergent. Lazy-ass answer.
Yeah, but it's what you believe. So if you think that it's lazy, then congratulations. You're lazy. You believe this. Yes, you do.
No.
A zygote is not conscious, but a human becomes conscious at some point.
You did not give me an explanation.
Yes, I did. Sufficiently complex forms of matter.
Now you're muting me.
Yes, because you're crying and you're saying things that are false. So while I am explaining what's going on, I need you to shut up. But you can't do that, so I have to do it for you.
No.
So do you understand now?
See, you're just muting me.
Okay, so here's what's going on. You believe in and it ran away. Okay, so pretty sure it was just rage baiting, but once it knew that its script failed and that it's a hypocrite, it had to run away because now it couldn't rage bait anymore. It never fails. I have experience with this, but it's actually not that hard. It took a while for me to figure it out, but they always believe in the thing that, according to them, is a stupid thing to believe in. They always believe it. So they 100% believe in emergence. Unless they're some sort of idealist.
In consciousness, that's what you said.
Yes, I think the
do you believe that consciousness is just a chemical reaction that happens in your brain planet?
So anyways, I'll finish my thought here. I think the best, most usable explanation that actually provides a working model for consciousness is that kind of emergent thing, yes. So it's not a chemical reaction. Something that emerges is not the things that produce it. So temperature is not...
So non-conscious can make conscious, is what you're saying?
Yeah, essentially. That's it.
Can you give me the reductio for that, my friend?
No. Do you believe God created the universe?
Yes.
And God created the universe out of what?
What do you mean, out of what?
Nothing. So once again, like I said, all of them always believe the thing that they think is stupid. Universe can come from non-universe. Congratulations.
God is conscious. I mean, that falls apart.
Talking about the universe, numbnuts.
Oh, I'm the numbnuts. So now
yes,
we're throwing
your
ad
nuts
homs.
Are numb. So
yeah, that's why you.
That's not
even
an ad hominem attack,
buddy.
Numbnuts.
Thanks for the clip, buddy.
You believe that something can come from something that it isn't.
Your own rational thoughts because of your logic.
No,
everything's just a chemical reaction in your brain.
No, I'm the only one that even can have the possibility of knowledge. Your worldview doesn't allow for it. Is this your alt account? You're going to run away now? That's like how it goes, right? You say something you think is a gotcha. You get an answer that proves you believe in the thing that you think. Yeah, it just ran away. So twice in a row. Ask a question you think is a good one. The answer proves that you're a hypocrite and you believe in the criticism that you were levying, and then run away. That's just absolutely golden. Stupidity never dies. It evolves. Get your signed copy with the link below.
Yeah. I don't think evolution is a fact. I think it's a highly accepted theory.
What's a fact then?
A fact is something that can be tested over and over again, and you get the same result every time, I think.
Well, science mostly fits that description. And evolution is a scientific theory, so.
Yeah, theory, a scientific theory. So it's theorized that it's what is true.
Well, it's known to be true at this point. Like atomic theory, like gravity, a bunch of other stuff. We call them theories because they've been run through the scientific process so much, and they've always given the same consistent answer that scientists are happy to call them. Like, a theory in science means something that's basically been proven scientifically.
Okay, but I think it was, who was it, Neil deGrasse Tyson? He said something about a proto chicken, like what comes first, the chicken or the egg? And like, I don't see how a proto chicken could lay an egg that would become a chicken. Like, if it was a species that was before a chicken, wouldn't it lay the egg of that species?
Yeah, but no species ever, like, lays an egg, and inside that egg is a totally different species. Every species that's ever born could theoretically mate with its parents. But if there are still changes every generation, and let's say the changes are really microscopic, that's still not enough to the point where they're totally different species. An offspring could still breed with its parents. But if you take the beginning of that sequence and then one of the offspring that comes like hundreds of thousands of generations later or millions of generations later, whatever it is, probably doesn't have to be millions, then at the beginning and end, then you do have different species that wouldn't be able to breed together. But all along the way, there was total genetic compatibility.
So out of those generations, is it like genetic mutations that caused it to become a different species?
That's probably the main source of what causes the DNA to be different. But there are lots of other factors that go into shaping the population genetics.
I don't know. Evolution just doesn't seem plausible to me.
Well, what is it that you don't think evolution can do?
I don't think, like, one species can go to another species over a long period of time.
Yeah, but why not? Like, what do you disagree with about the lay I weighed it, the way I laid it out? What part of that do you disagree with? Like every generation is genetically a little bit different than the parent generation that produced it, but they could still breed with their parents. Don't do that, but they could, right? Now, those accumulations never stop, or those differences never stop accumulating. So once it's happened hundreds of thousands of times, why would you not think that the hundreds of thousands generation wouldn't be a different species? We're not talking about it turning into something that's like we're not talking about going from the difference between, I don't know, a theropod dinosaur to a bird. We're just talking about like maybe one type of primate turning into another type of primate, or one type of dolphin turning into a different species of dolphin. We're not yet talking about something really extreme, but those extreme changes do happen when you have, you know, even more time. But what part of that doesn't make any sense?
Like just the change itself between the two, like just take us for example. We came from what, Homo erectus or Homo epithecus or one of those?
Homo erectus is our second most recent ancestor.
Is it just like the environment that causes the changes?
The environment doesn't really cause the changes. So the mutations that occur are mostly, they have mostly random, it's mostly a random chance happening. I don't know how to put it any better than that. The odds of any particular mutation happening aren't really predictable or controlled by anything. They're not guided by anything. But if you have a population of organisms, and this has been observed countless times, like a really famous example are black peppered moths in England. So they're normally white with small black spots on them. But then during the 1800s, when the Industrial Revolution really took over and there were coal burning plants everywhere, it caused so much pollution that the birch trees, birch trees are the ones that have that really buttery flaky crust on them. Like the bark that looks like you can peel it right off. So those trees started to get darkened by coal dust, and there were always some peppered moths that were mostly black with little hints of white in them, as opposed to mostly white, but they were usually pretty rare because they didn't blend in with their environment. But now that the environment changed, there was what we call new selective pressure. So selective pressure is the darker moths blend in more, so they're more likely to be selected to survive. So that caused the composition of the population to change. So the mutation that causes it isn't like chosen or willed into existence, really. It does happen unpredictably, randomly. It doesn't have to happen at all. Most species go extinct. They don't adapt to their environment. But when the environment changes, that's what causes the selective pressure. That's sort of the driving force for weeding out or selecting for, like, weeding out unfit organisms and then selecting well-fit organisms.
So is that evolution, like their change?
That's what the actual theory is. It's called natural selection. A giant fly just flew right by my head. So yeah, natural selection is the theory that describes how evolution takes place, and evolution is just change over time.
So is the moth the only thing that we have as evidence in our lifetime or in our generations of evolution?
No, for us, we live in a fantastic time. We live in a time where I'm totally comfortable saying evolution has been incontrovertibly proven, because evolution requires a very specific, necessary scientific fact, or it's not really a scientific fact, it's just a fact, and you use science to figure this fact out. So when organisms make babies, whether they're plants or animals or whatever they are, they pass on the hereditary molecule. Now, Darwin predicted that that would be the case, but he had no idea what it would look like or how it would happen because nobody in that time knew. But then later we did figure it out. There's this stuff called DNA, and it's what actually contains the information that guides the cell in making proteins, and making those proteins is the reason I look the way I do. It's the reason I sound the way I do. It's the reason my even stuff you can't see about me, like my metabolism, is the way it is. They control for basically everything. So if evolution were true, it would mean that every life form on the planet would have to share at least some DNA, but certain species should share way more of it than others, exactly the same way that you and your siblings, if you have them, should share more DNA than you and your cousins do. You and your cousins are going to share a lot, 25% roughly, but you and your siblings are going to share a lot more, 50%. So for across species, it should be the same way. All the primates, they should share the most DNA with each other and less DNA with everything else. But there are still like predictable things. If it turned out that rabbits and bananas shared more genes than rabbits and mice do, then evolution would basically have been proven false. But instead, the exact opposite happened. All of the genetic data says exactly what was predicted way, way, way before we even knew how to do genetic testing.
So do you think, like, say in like 100,000 years or 500,000 years from now, humans will evolve further than we are today?
Not to the point where, like, we'll be different. We will look different. But not to the point where if I froze you in, what's the stuff that Han Solo gets frozen in? I want to say thermite, and I know that's wrong.
Cryogenic pod?
Yeah. What, if I froze you and then you woke up 100,000 years later, 200,000 years later, you could bang chicks in the future and make future babies. Because humans, we've already been around for modern Homo sapiens. For like 200,000 years. Oh, carbonite. That's right. Thank you, chat. I don't know why I couldn't remember that. I knew it wasn't a very good name because like carbonite, that doesn't sound cold at all, but I couldn't remember what it was. But our species has already been around for a few 100,000 years, but there's really no, we've gotten DNA from really old humans. And it's like, there are small differences. Like you can tell, because there are ethnic groups around the planet and they're very slightly different, but they're definitely all still human. So, yeah, what about you'd be able to bang chicks in the future. Yeah.
What about like a million years?
So a million years, that's kind of a tough one. I'm actually tempted to, so I have kind of two different answers for this, because it's weird about humans is nature doesn't really do the selecting for us very much anymore, really at all. Because what we can do with technology, stuff that would normally be like a death sentence or be extremely, like people live in places where it's cold all year round, but their skin is just as thin as yours or mine is. And I live in California where it's never cold. At least the part where I live never is cold. So there's much, much less pressure on humans. Now there's two cases where this could be different. One would be we might actually be able to do some kind of gene editing where the human genome, because a million years is so long. 100 years ago, airplanes could only fly. Well, no, 100 years ago was post-World War One, so airplanes. 150 years ago, nobody had ever flown. And then
made in like 1910 or something like that.
Yeah, it's like 1909 or 1906. I can't remember when Kitty Hawk was. But either way, like we flew all the way to the fucking moon 60 years later or whatever. So I'm tempted to think that if we ever do figure out some kind of gene editing, we might actually make our species genetically so different from what we are now that it might be impossible. But that's not real evolution, for lack of a better way of putting it. The other possibility is We may never get to that point because it's just too complicated, or we decide not to. But, you know, there are groups of people on this planet that are like totally isolated, like in North Sentinel's Island, in parts of Papua New Guinea and the Amazon. And maybe something happens where they are technically called like a different species, because a million years is an insanely long amount of time. So it could happen.
And that would just be natural, right? Like with nothing intervening with it, like genetic mutation. I mean, for genetic them, yeah. like modification.
Yeah.
So yeah, those people in a million years wouldn't be able to breed with us as we are today, is what you're saying?
Possibly. It seems like it could happen, because a million years is a really long time.
I mean, if we base it off of the past, then it has happened, right?
Yeah. But it typically happens because the environment changes in pretty dramatic ways, which that's, I mean, over the course of the next million years, that is going to happen. So who knows?
We'll probably get hotter as time goes on, right? Like the temperatures will probably.
Well, we're actually in the middle of a, you know, they say the ice age. There was a bunch of ice ages. We have, if you look it up, you'll see data on what's called the last glacial maximum. So like the continental ice sheets and whatever that covered all of Canada and a bunch of the lower 48 and a bunch of Eurasia, that happened a bunch of times. They would grow and then they would melt away, and then they would grow again and they would melt away. That happened many times. It's going to happen again, unless, I mean, with what we've done with fossil fuels, maybe we'll stave it off, which is the weirdest thing about the whole climate change thing. Higher temperatures could be bad for our species. A new ice age would be the end of civilization for most of the planet. So it's like, when are we going to get to the point where we're like, look, we need to increase the temperatures, because you don't, human civilization does not survive Europe becoming a glacier and the top part of the lower 48 becoming a glacier either. It doesn't. So... but that's a completely different topic.
Okay, can I ask you why you're an atheist?
Oh yeah, I'm happy to tell you more about it, but just for like a quick answer, what I usually tell people is the reason you don't believe in any other religion, or the reasons are going to be the same reasons I don't believe in Christianity anymore. I used to, but I don't anymore. So they won't like be 100% identical, but the basic theme, the basic logical problems, the basic lack of evidence, and you know, whatever else, the basic common sense, I would say, that anyone has towards saying Joseph Smith didn't read fucking letters out of a gold tablet in a hat. It's like, yeah, Moses didn't talk to a burning bush either, and you can't walk on water. You know, essentially simple stuff like that. Now, I did, you know, even into my, like, early 20s, I was still basically a theist, but for reasons that were pretty shallow and not thought out. I just, like, said to myself, well, free will is a thing, and nature can't produce creatures with free will. And then after I thought about it, I was like, well, first of all, this is an argument from ignorance. Only God could do that, when I have no way of describing how God would do it. Second of all, I actually stopped believing in free will. That was there was that as well. If I say more, I'll kind of just be rambling. So you
don't think free will exists?
No.
So what causes you to make the choices that you make on a day-to-day basis?
I think that
just like, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's just a mere physical phenomena that occurs. So I think the way it happens is, but it doesn't, like, there isn't a thing that makes it happen. There's a bottom up process. Activities in, like, at the cellular level in your body undergo all these changes that are totally deterministic and at the mercy of the laws of physics. And that works its way up in different levels of organization to the point where, you know, complex behaviors and thoughts are taking place, but they're produced at every step of the way by totally deterministic, merely physical chemical processes. And I don't see room for free will to enter the picture anywhere in there at all.
But what determines those processes to happen? Is it the environment? Is it like,
well, is it, I would basically just say that is simply what the properties of matter are. Like when you mix chemicals together, they undergo certain transformations. You can't make them not do it. I mean, you can create really crazy physical conditions where you can like maybe speed it up or slow it down, but you can't make it not happen. Like I can't drop something and it doesn't fall. It has to obey the laws of physics. And then there's chemistry, which is a different kind of physics going on as well. And our bodies are sadly or maybe it's not that sad, I don't know, a soup of chemicals that can't choose to violate physics or allow for indeterminacy in any sense. They're actually, like, you can argue that there is a kind of indeterminacy with respect to, like, you can't, like, hard determinism doesn't necessarily have to be true, but that still doesn't allow for free will.
When I think of free will, I think of just like the choices that you make. Like, I feel like that's would be my definition of free will.
Some people,
and I don't think it's based like on determined factors. I feel like you can choose to do anything you want.
So there's a kind of interpretation of free will. I'm pretty sure it's the one people call libertarian free will, which says that, you know, that we live in a deterministic universe, but when you act in accordance with what your like desires are, even though you didn't choose your desires, then you are engaging in your free will. When you decide to pick up the spoon 10 trillion years ago, well, there was no 10 trillion years ago for all we can tell, but 5 days ago, if I would have known the perfect physical conditions of the entire universe, then I could have predicted with the world's craziest supercomputer exactly everything that would have happened, including me picking up the spoon. But because I still did make the decision to pick up the spoon, it's just that I didn't have any other choice. People call that your free will because, you know, I mean, you could argue that, well, somebody else didn't do it for you, although you didn't. And then we could go into quantum mechanics and talk about there's actually a world where you didn't pick up the spoon. I don't want to do that. But, you know, you made the decision, so it's still your will, I guess.
And you weren't forced to make that decision.
Yeah, sometimes people are forced, but you most of the time.
But in a scenario where you're not forced. So I would call that free will because you had the will to do something and you were free. You weren't forced to do that thing.
Yeah. So
maybe not in that free will in a religious sense, but like in a practical sense, I think free will does exist.
Yeah. What most people want to think free will means is that their choices are solely theirs to make. They're totally in control and they could have done otherwise. That's specifically what I reject. So if you want to call the interpretation we were going over a kind of free will, it's like, okay, I personally don't choose to call it that, but I'm built different.
So what would you call it then if it's not free will?
I guess I just don't have a name for it. Because if you don't have free will, then I don't have an alternative, I guess. I never knew. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have anything for it. I get, you could say determinism, I guess, but that branches into many other things other than the choices humans make. But I guess there probably wouldn't really be any other thing to call it.
So basically, it's free will.
I don't know what you mean by that.
Like, if it's not determined and you have the choice.
Sure. That's, yeah, that, and that's most people's concept of it, yeah.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Sure. I mean, we don't have to argue about it. Do you have any other questions?
No, I'll waddle on out of here.
Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.